All right, for the mouth, we're going to inspect the lips, dentition, meaning the number of teeth and condition of the teeth, the gums, the buccal mucosa, the cheek lining, the tongue, the palate, the pharynx, the back of the throat, and that we're going to inspect the uvula, the tonsillar pillars, the tonsils, and the laryngeal wall, the very back of the throat.
So what was the uvula for again?
The uvula helps you to form certain types of sounds. Also acts as a gag reflex to help people from sticking tongue depressors down your throat, I guess.
Yeah.
Also important in snoring. Yes. And then finally, we can palpate the tongue and underneath the tongue. All right, some abnormalities that, oh, we got to show you a normal mouth, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's see. Oh, there we go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so. Okay, now, in this one, because the tonsils are so large here, you can't really see one of the things I want to show you. But these two big honking round things that look like golf balls, they have these little indentations and pits in them, those are tonsils. These will be called plus three tonsils. So you see this part of this little thing that runs right along here? This is called the tonsillar pillar. There's another one behind the tonsils. If they're sticking out from the tonsils just a little bit, that's called plus two. Plus three is when they stick out significantly. Plus four is when they touch the uvula and beyond. Sometimes people will have tonsils that are all the way touching each other. We call that kissing tonsils. So they don't necessarily have to be the same size, but in this case they are. So if you can see them, but they're not sticking out past the tonsillar walls or pillars, that's called plus one. So if you can see them, plus one. If they stick out slightly, plus two. Stick out into the middle, plus three. And if they, one of our returning seniors, triumphantly so, and if they are crossing midline, then that's called plus four. So let's see if we can't find a picture of some kissing tonsils, huh? Ooh, yeah. So here you can see the tonsils touching that tonsil. Although it can interfere with swallowing if it gets too big. All right, now let's talk about some abnormal findings. First one is herpes simplex. What is the normal type of herpes simplex virus that is present in the oral area? Herpes simplex 1. Herpes simplex 1 will cause cold sores, sometimes called fever blisters. About 65 to 70% of the American population has type 1 herpes, and typically you're going to get it from your own family, like your grandma who gives you a big kiss. Mwah! Give Grammy a kiss. So they're not considered sexual, and in most people, the eruptions are relatively benign, self-limiting, which means they go away by themselves. Now, what can happen, though, is one can transfer herpes simplex 2, or genital herpes, from the genitals to the mouth through the use of oral sex. And that is much more virulent, causes much more painful lesions, and typically can be much more severe. So herpes simplex is one thing that you can find in the mouth area. Another one is gingival hypertrophy. This is most common in patients on certain drugs, and the major drug that you associate this with is Dilantin, used for seizures. We'll show you a picture of that in a second. And then oral candidiasis, we already talked about that a couple times, thrush, and of course enlarged tonsils, which we just showed you. So let's take a look at herpes. There we go. This is what we want. Oral herpes looks kind of like this. So this person has cold sores on her lips. The other thing is they're called fever blisters. Sometimes they're called sun sores or sun blisters. The reason is because it's localized heat is what causes them to erupt. So, and that's very common when you go out in the sun, you get hotter, or if you get a sunburn, that heat from the inflammation can cause them to erupt. Also tend to erupt when people get stressed out because their immune system is suppressed during times of stress. No, that's gotten from your grandmother. Yeah.
You got that from your grandma.
This is the one you get from oral sex. All right. So the next thing we need to see is thrush. That is actually quite mild. That's mild. More severe is when you can't see any pink or red because the whole thing is covered in that yellow-white crusty paste. Say again?
What is the white
bacteria? No, it's yeast.
Yeah.
Candida albicans. The same kind of stuff that women get in their vaginas. Lives in your mouth, too, right now, even as you speak. Or sit there and not speak. All right, so how does one get this condition? Well, ordinarily, the amount of yeast that grows is held in check by other bacteria. So there's bacteria in your mouth right now, even as you sit there, just sitting, bopping along through class. Your body is literally a war zone with battles fought between yeast and bacteria. So the bacteria and yeast compete with one another and kind of keeps them both in check. So as long as neither one gets an advantage, you don't have any problems. But if you become immunocompromised, or if you take too many antibiotics and kill off too many of the good ones, then the yeast can begin to grow up in its place, and you get the yeast infection.
Why is it so common in babies? Like, just see their whole mouth.
The reason it's more common in babies is because they don't have a competent immune system yet. Any questions? All right. I think that's it. Oh, we got to show you the gingival hypertrophy. All right. Those aren't there. This is what's impressive. This is a much more severe case. That's a person, yeah. That's a two and a half year old boy. So you can see the gums are just completely overgrown the teeth. What causes that is some drugs just cause it to happen. The way that you try and prevent that is you floss two or three times a day. Yeah. At that point, you'd probably try and stop the medication and probably oral surgery at that point. Let's see. I can't see any other really nice, disgusting pictures. Yes, it certainly does. Anyway, that is gingival hyperplasia, or hypertrophy. All right. One of the things about oral herpes is that it can also travel to different places on the head, and it can go to the eye. So not good stuff. Let's see. Ophthalmic herpes. All right. So here's ophthalmic herpes. You can see all of the cold sores and lesions just, you know, beginning to penetrate down into the eye. This can cause loss of vision if it gets severe enough. Herpes simplex. No, it's not a sty. Oh, good. Let's say again. Oh, yeah, it itches a lot. All right. Oh, you want a more disgusting one? Okay. This person has it all over their head. It's hurt. It's just. Yeah, this is actually in the eyeball now. Yes, I'll bet that itches. No, Gorbachev. That's port wine stain. That's just a birthmark. All right. But it's a funny one, though. Did you ever see a Naked Gun? Leslie Nielsen wipes it off. He goes, "I knew it." All right, well, what was the other thing we just said we needed to look at? Sty, yes, a sty. All right, a sty is just an inflamed follicle. So that's a sty. Pink eye, what's pink eye? Yeah. A sty like this may or may not be contagious depending on what's in there. Usually they're not. And what you do is just put warm compresses on them. It'll draw out the stuff and then go down by itself. That's called a sty. Now, the other thing, or blepharitis is another name for it. So blepharitis is usually, it's more of an infection of the eyelid itself, so kind of like this. This is called blepharitis. Now, conjunctivitis has various different presentations. This is a mild conjunctivitis. Really, you just have inflammation of the conjunctiva, which is the clear membrane over the top of the sclera. More severe can be pussy and really quite nasty. That one's going in the... That's a keeper. Oh, no. All right, so that's a really severe one. Most are not going to be that bad. So let's put the non-severe one on there, too. Which one? This one here? Yeah, it's okay. But we want this one here. All right, the other thing that you can get that we need to take a look at is a conjunctival bleed. We have a bleeder. Conjunctivitis, the major cause of it is actually allergic. You can also get it just from irritation, smoke, rubbing your eyes, lack of sleep, too much alcohol. All those can cause conjunctivitis. What we usually think of, though, when we hear the word conjunctivitis is contagious conjunctivitis, which is usually viral and to a lesser degree bacterial. For the viral ones, there's really not that much you can do for them except wait for them to go away. For the bacterial, you use antibiotic ointment or drops. All right, conjunctival bleed. Come on. All right. So this is what a conjunctival bleed can look like. So basically, the conjunctiva, blood vessel in the conjunctiva has ruptured, and the person is bleeding underneath the conjunctiva. So their whole eye will begin to fill up with blood. Usually it's just confined to one half of the eye. This one actually kind of goes underneath the iris and around a little bit to the other side. That's a little more unusual. Most of them are spontaneous and don't have a definite cause. But sometimes they're caused by either anticoagulation or high blood pressure. So you just have to wait for it to go away on its own. Yeah. If it begins to invade the iris, then you have them go see an ophthalmologist. But as long as it's just hanging out there and it's not getting bigger or worse or painful, you don't do anything for it. You treat their blood pressure and you check their clotting factors. You know, make sure that they're clotting okay. All right. Any other questions? Any other gross things that you might want to see? Okay. Parasites in the eye? No, I haven't seen that. Yeah, a major cause of blindness in the world is a disease called river blindness, where it's a parasite that they grow up, and one of the things they do is they swim around in kind of the retinal fluid, and then they die in there, and the buildup of their little dead bodies causes blindness. So let's see if we can find that. And one of the really interesting things about river blindness. River blindness is most common in. Yeah. Oh, you see these little.
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
What is it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is, but those little filaments, those are the worms that cause river blindness. Yeah. One of the interesting things about river blindness, yeah, here's a river blindness eye. One of the interesting things about it is that there's a drug company that actually came up with a vaccine that kills it before it can cause any, you know, permanent damage. And they were going to give it away to whoever wanted it, just free of charge. There were no takers.
Wow. Are they just not educated, though?
Well, just, you know, it primarily happens in countries in Africa, and those particular countries where it's most common, the governments either didn't want it or were, you know, too involved in their own internal struggles to bother with it or care. So, anyway, it's a completely preventable illness now. But that's river blindness. There's other lots of cool parasites we can talk about.
Okay.
We'll do it another time. All right. Any other gross eye things you want to see, or mouth? All right, let me leave you with this thought. Kissing is putting your lips on the end of a 30-foot tube that ends in feces and sucking.